Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. You're here and so are we. Party time. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson's here.
I've just took me lolly out of my mouth. I'm all right now.
And you dropped it on the table, didn't you? So
I
now
did.
You got a furry lollipop.
Petey's furry lollipop.
Everybody's got a week off because Luke Moore is not here.
Yay.
I mean, that's a shame, isn't it?
We're gonna
have to soldier on without the big man. But I think we can do it, Jim. Let's go straight away, Jim. It's a thigh rubber. It's Arsenal versus Leicester City.
Mm.
It's at the Emirates.
It's a pacer up and down from where I'm sat.
Yeah. Not going to be a 3 points for the home win.
Who knows?
One point, this was a top of the table clash, but it's not quite worked out like that, is it?
Yeah, that's not Leicester's fault.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Leicester have been doing the damnedest. We've actually beaten Leicester in our last 8 home meetings with them in the league, but they do not care for the form book nor the apple cart, do they?
Big talk.
That means absolutely nothing.
Claudio Ranieri has smashed the Premier League apple cart
to
pieces.
He's set it on fire
and
then rebuilt it and just kicked it to pieces. It's ash beneath his feet.
You know that level on Street Fighter 2 where you smash up a car? Do you think that's what Ranieri got Danny Drinkwater to do with the Premier League apple cart?
Yeah, I think
it is. And he's been doing it all season.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. Good.
Don't put all your apples in one cart.
Clearly.
That's what I would say, Premier League.
This is...
Should we talk about the game or just talk about fruit?
No, I was going to... Well, when life gives you lemons...
Mm.
Make sure you're top of the league by February.
I'm just going to eat my lolly. Come on, Marcus.
Do you think
Arsenal's on?
Enough. All right.
Exactly. Come on.
Enough.
Otherwise, I'll throw you outside with Luke. are Leicester favourites for this one, Jim?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because going into most games, you think they are favourites because they're just blitzing everybody. But Arsenal beat them pretty comfortably at their place in yesteryear.
Ancient
5-2.
History.
Well, indeed. But maybe there's something about the way that the two teams play that potentially favours Arsenal. I mean, this is all conjecture. They might just absolutely blast us away like they have with everybody else. Mm-hmm. But I'll be very interested to see how it pans out. Now, Leicester are happy to concede possession. They generally have very low possession and they hit teams on the break. What I'm hoping for from an Arsenal point of view is that if they concede possession, when you've got a player like Mesut Ozil, who's so good at picking out those key passes and making chances, that will give us enough to see it through. But at the same time,
our midfield,
indeed, which will that is goal kick heaven for a goalkeeper.
Pick out all the passes you like, because the bloke at the end of it is Theo Walcott.
Yeah, Peter Schmeichel can have a little nap. Even his
all of Schmeichel. There's been a lot of Peter Schmeichel talk this week, hasn't there?
Do you remember when Jamie Redknapp said about Kasper Schmeichel? Oh, Peter Schmeichel will literally be a father figure for Kasper.
It's brilliant that he's accidentally got that right.
Yeah. Once,
which that is come full circle. That's incredible. Yeah. But what I was about to say is a big part of Arsenal's game back then when we did beat Leicester 5-2 was Santi Cazorla being instrumental in our sort of possession game in the middle of the park and helping us sort of be quite dominant in that area because he hangs onto the ball so well. We miss that now, and that's an area in which Leicester are particularly strong with Danny Drinkwater and N'Golo Kante. So I think the game will be won or lost in the middle. And I honestly have no idea how it's going to go. I don't have a sort of gut feeling about it at all, but I think it's going to be a very good game.
Well, if you want to go for the draw on Bet365, it's 14-5. Score or otherwise, £10 will return at 38 quid, including the stakes. So, the draw's on for me, personally.
Yeah.
Score draw, probably, let's face it.
Yeah, a draw's not a great result for Arsenal. But I think Leicester would certainly be happy with it. I don't think they'll play for one at all. But Arsenal, for their own title ambitions, they absolutely have to win this game.
They do.
That Man City beat Tottenham
and
as well.
And that's why I think all this plays into Leicester's hands.
Absolutely, yeah. The pressure's, even though in theory this is a really high-pressure game for Leicester, it's actually, it's more of a high-pressure game for Arsenal, which they famously really don't enjoy.
You look at the way Leicester played at Manchester City. The early goal
Whatever,
helped.
Mate!
That was basically it, wasn't it?
Whatever! We're going to do some goals.
You're having a little title bid, are you? Don't care.
Yeah.
There's a goal.
We're doing,
done another one.
We're doing the goals now. I think that Leicester, they've got the average, I think it's them and one other side, average the lowest possession in the Premier League.
Not bothered.
Possession football.
They're like the naughty kid at school that just keeps getting away with stuff.
Has been slaughtered by Leicester City this season, which is incredible because they are top of the league. They don't mind, as you say, Jim, conceding possession at all. They prefer it, which is why I think they're in good stead for this game at Arsenal. It will be fascinating.
Yeah, and also
after this game,
it'd be interesting to see how Wenger sets up against them, because you've got to take you approach this game differently now from how you would have earlier in the season. And I wonder if he'll put Coquelin and perhaps even Elneny as well in the middle to really shore it up. I suspect it will be probably Coquelin instead of Flamini and Ramsey in there as well, but who knows?
Well, should, because one thing that Leicester have benefited from is every time they go into a game, people go, oh, it's Leicester, right, we'll show them, we'll beat this lot, and oh, they've beaten us. Or something's happened.
You just got to press them hard and make sure you win back possession immediately.
Teams need to give them more respect. They need to say, we're playing the top of the table team here.
But I think with Arsenal, possession, you know, they've always had most of the possession against most teams they come up against, but they haven't always put it in the net. And that's the problem, isn't it, really? And they've got a very, very good goalkeeper in Peter Kasper Schmeichel to whack it past. So.
Yeah. But I'm not saying that Arsenal should just give Leicester the ball and go, well, go on then.
See what happens.
Let's see what happens if we give it to them.
Oh, no.
But I think that they should shore it up in the centre. And the thing is, what Leicester did against Manchester City was completely outran them in the middle of the pitch. Mm-hmm. And that's always going to happen.
Just
because,
wanted it more.
Yeah, Yaya Touré isn't playing in the centre for Manchester City. And as great as a servant he has been for that club, he's not going to keep up with Kante and Drinkwater, who are full of running. You know, we used to talk about old-fashioned strike partnerships as well, which have come back in with Vardy and Okazaki and Ighalo and Deeney. We used to talk about old-fashioned centre midfield partnerships because it used to be 4-4-2. Many teams, you know, Vieira and Petit were a great example.
Lampard
at Arsenal
and Gerrard for England,
not one of the better ones, but it is unfortunately a valid point, as we all suffered through. But Keane and Scholes and all, Kante and Drinkwater are utterly crucial. You know, Leicester's partnerships all over the pitch have been crucial. You know, and Okazaki and Vardy have been brilliant as well.
They're the thinky linky men.
Indeed they are, Peter. Mm. Indeed they are. So we're very much
I'm sure that one will catch on.
Come on, Leicester, the thinky linky men.
Claudio Ranieri just can't believe his luck. And what I loved is, when
are you a little bit worried that we are all just bit part players in a Claudio Ranieri dream?
I'm happy with that. Is he not a good guy?
He's a lovely guy. But the thing is, if he wakes up, we all cease to exist.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll wake up on, you know, the last week of May or something like that, when they've won the league.
What, you're happy
for
then a few
we all
more months?
Stop to exist.
Goodness me, Marcus.
Oh, sorry, Jim. I was
so football.
I wasn't quite buying into the fantasy as much as I perhaps should have done.
Fair enough.
And I apologise.
Come with us.
I apologise. One of his former players, Hernan Crespo, recently said of his former boss, Ranieri with Leicester is doing an incredible job on a mental level.
Did he mean like on a crazy level?
Yeah, absolutely mental level, man.
Is that next level?
I like to think that was the point he was making. But I think the point he is making is that, of course, from a psychological point of view, a sports psychological point of view, he's been brilliant. The fact is that those Leicester players don't seem to be suffering from any kind of pressure or nerves.
Mm. What is interesting is, you know, I think part of the momentum that's taken them to where they are is there's been no pressure on them because there's been nothing to lose. But there seems to have been a sea change in people going, yes, actually they're contenders. So you wonder if psychologically that means to them now that there is something to lose, and how will they step up to that? But they've stepped up to everything that's been put in front of them so far.
Come into place after the Arsenal game.
Yeah.
Well, especially if they win the game. They've got now fixtures between now until the end of the season after Arsenal, apart from maybe away to... They're playing Manchester United. I forget if it's away. I think it might be away. And obviously that's a tricky one. It's always a difficult place to go. But that is when Ranieri's you know, incredible job on a mental level will really come into play. Crespo also said the players are playing with maximum organisation, making the most of their movements. He's right, their movement has been superb as well. He also went on to say in the same piece that Gary Neville, his troubles at Valencia, he was quite happy to see the Neville struggling. He stuck the boot in old Gene Evan. He said, I remember because he was too harsh as a TV pundit. Because Crespo manages Serie B side Modena, he's making the point that it's not as easy as it looks, pal.
Right. Yeah. Has Gary Neville had a pop at Serie B side Modena?
I hope so.
Yeah. Has that been his main Sky Sports Monday night output?
Maybe Modena.
Can I just stop talking about, I don't know, Arsenal versus Spurs?
Yeah.
I'd actually quite like to talk about Serie B. And if I may, Serie C.
Yeah, maybe that's the case. Maybe that is the case. Manchester City host Tottenham Hotspurs. Two huge games.
Yeah.
The top four in action altogether.
Yeah. Huge.
See, I think Spurs probably go into this as favourites. Purely because City haven't beaten a top six side this season, and that has been what has absolutely hamstrung them. Mm. If they could be more consistent, they should in theory be walking this league with the talent they have in that squad. But they've been just inconsistent at silly times. Well, perhaps because there's a bit of kind of weakness in the middle sometimes with Toure's form, you know, being as indifferent as it has been.
But the defence as well,
a big hole. And the defence as well. And obviously missing Kompany is massive. Missing Aguero for big chunks of the season. To be fair to them, but you know they have had their troubles. But I think Tottenham just they do not look like losing at the moment, do they? They really don't.
May I shellack your shout of Spurs being favourites? They're definitely not favourites. Man City are favourites here on Bet365 at evens. Spurs at 13-5. £10 on gives you £36 including the stake with Bet365. So if you want to back Spurs, that's what you're going to get. Lord Ramble, who is in the next room, he is very upset about us giving it the big one about Spurs. Because he thinks we'll jinx Spurs. If we keep on talking about how good Spurs are, we'll jinx it, they'll lose the match. But we are on men in many ways. So Spurs are fives to win the league. £10 will get you £60 including your stake with Bet365. Harry Kane, top scorer in the league, 7-2, £10 will get you £45 with Bet365, including stakes. So just a couple of bets you might want to go for in the future. Yeah. It's not our bet of the week with Bet365, but it's important to upset Lord Ramble at every opportunity, especially when we're separated by Gorilla Glass.
Yeah, safer.
Yeah.
That's why that you're saying that Spurs are going to win this one, Jim, just to try anything to make sure they don't.
No, I genuinely think they will. Yeah. If I sounded quiet then, it's because I turned away to look at Lord Ramble.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is quite incredible to think that Manchester City is 6 points off the top. I know Arsenal and Spurs are 5 points off, but Manchester City were the team that everybody thought, right, when all said and done, Spurs will drop away, Arsenal will do their traditional routine, and
Leicester
surely
will
Leicester won't. Leicester got relegated somehow. But Manchester City are not stepping up, and after that psychological blow, as well as a defeat at home to Leicester, they're the ones that people aren't really considering anymore so much, are they? They're saying, can Arsenal capitalise? Will Spurs continue their good form and push Leicester all the way?
Was it kind of short-sighted to announce their new manager this early in the season?
It does seem to have had the effect.
I was familiar with who it was, Marcus.
No, I was sorry. I was making sure. I think that it would have probably been leaked.
Right.
That's why.
Do you think that's why it happened? Yeah.
I think because Bayern Munich had Carlo Ancelotti lined up.
Yeah. Right.
So that's just not their problem, is it? So if they want... Yeah. If they want to announce that.
I mean, we knew Guardiola was going to leave Bayern Munich, so I suppose they could have said Carlo Ancelotti anyway, but I think that's probably the reason they did it. I don't know. I don't know. We're talking of Tottenham and managers. Former Spurs and Middlesbrough forward, Mido. Remember him?
We all remember Mido.
Yeah, well, he was a player, of course, and then he retired at the age of 30 or something like that. He didn't need the money.
One last contract.
He loves the game. He was good for Spurs for about a season, I think.
Yeah, he was.
He was decent for the Egypt national side as well. He was a good player, but he
sometimes, that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he sort of...
Didn't apply himself.
He went up and down weight-wise, and it was when he could be bothered. He was quite a good player, but that was all too infrequently.
He's a little bit Berbatov for me. Too much of a luxury player.
True.
Yeah, he was absolutely a luxury player.
He's been sacked as coach at Zamalek in Egypt for a second time after only 37 days in charge. He's still only 32.
He's younger than me. I can't really get my head around that.
He was the youngest manager to win the Egypt Cup at the age of 30 in his first spell in charge. He was 30 and he won his country's football cup, which
That's
is incredible,
brilliant.
Really. You wonder how a man like that gets motivated to...
Well, he is the most famous Egyptian footballer of some time, isn't he?
Do you think he'd be a good motivator as a manager?
Don't be like
see
that
me.
Guy.
Don't be like me.
Don't yeah. be me.
Okay.
You
see,
I could have had it all, and I basically did, and actually that was the problem.
And I still
just,
do.
Just run around a bit.
Oh, absolutely incredible. We're going to talk more Premier League action after this.
Well, Marcus, I think it was a nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Aston Villa versus Liverpool. The Liverpool owners have only gone back on their word, haven't they? No £77 tickets, mate. No £77 tickets, Jim.
Nope.
It's good news.
Marcus. No,
it's
that is not happening. It is good news. I wonder if the Liverpool fans will now leave on 11 minutes.
Yes.
Hoping that they'll knock the price down even more. Yeah. That's what I'd do.
Would they come back in after about 85?
Yeah, maybe. Actually, it hasn't worked.
They also won't have categorised match pricing as well.
That's brilliant. That's
that
a really
brilliant.
Significant victory.
Is that because of Leicester? Again, Ranieri's going, again, you're yeah. welcome, everybody. Yeah.
Screw your apple cart.
Or is that because Liverpool genuinely think they're a top four club and no club's bigger than us? So.
Yeah, maybe it is that.
That may or may not be true, Peter. It is good news. It is good news for Liverpool fans.
It is. I mean, it's still they're still one of the more expensive tickets.
Yeah, but it's not great news. It's not.
But I think it was just more surprising. I think we were all a little bit kind of blindsided by the fact that it got changed back
football
so quickly and unequivocally as well. They didn't just sort of go, "Well, look at this." They said, "Sorry, we messed up a bit." There's still more work to be done. But
do you think? And this is quite a cynical angle on this.
I think a lot, Marcus.
I'm sure. Well, we're not going to that far down that dark corner of your mind, but. With, you know, Liverpool being at the centre now of this Premier League match pricing business, which has been talked about for a while, now people have honed in on one club because of the worthy protest of their fans. They've done very well there and they've got the reaction that they immediately wanted. David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, has been talking about the prices as well because it was put to him in Prime Minister's questions, not because he probably feels very strongly about it.
Yeah,
but he's
about to Villa slash
rang in TalkSport.
but anyway, the Prime Minister's mentioned it. It's now at a national level. Mm. Is this the Liverpool owners maybe thinking, this is good PR if we do this?
It doesn't make them a whole lot of money. I think this is the point.
Yeah.
I think I tried to make on Monday. And either way, the fans will get screwed over. That's what will happen at some point. But this is a pretty easy victory for them and a pretty easy victory for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, the most expensive ticket is still pretty highly priced.
Yeah.
Is it £59? Something like that. So, you know, still a lot of money. Mm.
What about in Germany, which country we often praise for these sorts of things? The Borussia Dortmund fans staged a protest away at Stuttgart in the German Cup by throwing tennis balls onto the pitch in the 24th minute.
I love that, because that is so disruptive to the match.
Yeah.
Ankle-breaking.
Yeah. Well, they were very, very angry at ticket prices at Stuttgart, where they were charging £55 for a quarter of the away tickets, which is more than what you might think, actually. Mm. But one of their fans, who's the member of the campaign group behind the protest, they also missed the first 20 minutes of the match. He said that in Germany, they use the expression great tennis to describe something very good, which is quite interesting. I suppose in England, some people may say, you know, that's not cricket.
Right, okay.
In saying
it doesn't quite translate, does it? It's
In England, you might say that's not cricket, as in that's not morally right, or that's not particularly good.
It sounds
or something.
Like the positive version of similar thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, one of Liverpool's most disgraceful parts of their recent history was that beach ball.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you don't want different sporty balls on the field.
Yeah, actually, if Liverpool fans start chucking beach balls on the pitch, you know it's something really gone awry.
True. So they threw tennis balls, which was a way of telling Stuttgart that their prices were too high. I mean. I think that's a glorious link. In England, should we throw cricket balls? This isn't cricket!
No, let's distance ourselves
Liverpool,
from that idea.
Liverpool have got a very extensive injury record at the best of times. They do not want...
They don't want cricket balls
cricket
being
balls.
Launched in.
They're struggling with a football on the pitch, let alone any other.
Speaking of that injury record, Daniel Sturridge may actually start against Villa.
Okay.
Which is... be interesting.
A couple of goals and then off for a few months.
Yeah, well, sadly, that has been the pattern, hasn't it?
Michael Owen said, I think in The Guardian, he sort of said that we should be privy to his problems, basically.
It's a fun one, isn't it?
Well, should it be public record? Should it be public knowledge?
Certainly not for Michael Owen to say, is it?
Especially not Michael Owen, the most injured man on the planet,
indeed,
who is often kind of just AWOL.
I think Owen might have been slightly kind of... not misquoted, but the context of this seems a little weird. I don't think this is him having a go at Liverpool or Sturridge. It's him just genuinely wanting to know if Sturridge is going to be able to play.
Yeah. I love football.
Oh, I want to see Sturridge.
And Michael Owen, I'd love to see him play.
I know, Villa go into this game in their last few games on better form than Liverpool, actually.
Yeah. And actually, they put a shift in against Liverpool, don't they? They like kicking their apple cart.
Well, Sturridge, of course, scored a couple of goals, I think, against Villa when he played last.
I still can't see.
I think this probably will be a Liverpool win as well. Mm. Benteke's return, be interesting to see if he actually
starts. Miss a few chances against West Ham, didn't he, in the cup? Mm. But actually, people were complaining about some of the young players that Klopp played in that match. Some of those young players gave a very good account of themselves, and they only just got pipped. I know ultimately they're out of the cup, but I didn't think it was a terrible idea for Klopp to do that. Again, you can point the fact that they're out of the cup, but he got to know some of his perhaps more fringe players in that way. And if he's going to be there next season, they are in a cup final as well, then it was unlucky.
Yeah, but I mean, also, we talk about Benteke. If someone offered Benteke at the start of the season to you for, like, I don't know, 10 million, 15 million... you would bite their hands off. And he has been
paid 32 million.
Yeah, I know. That's a lot. All right, probably not that amount. But he was getting there. He was still, he was that kind of Lukaku sort of striker. You sort of think, he more often than not, if he's got a chance, he'll put it away.
Mm. Yeah, I think he needs it more on a plate than Lukaku does. Lukaku's got a lot more about his game where he can sort of fashion chances for himself a bit. And, you know, it was Brendan Rodgers signing, wasn't it? I don't think Klopp would have gone after Benteke because he just doesn't suit the style of play that Klopp has. And that's not Benteke's fault. It's not Klopp's fault. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances.
When you buy a striker for £32.5 million and you
don't
even
return.
You don't even get halfway through the season. You think, he's not the man for us. You begin to understand why some clubs have sporting directors and they set up the structure of the club because they want to play in a certain way. They want to have a certain type of player at the club. So whichever manager comes in, because they'll go for a certain type of manager, everybody understands what they're doing, and you, in theory, reduce the risk of those kind of big signings going awry. And not always in practice is that how it plays out, but you can understand why some people do that. Chelsea are at home to Newcastle United, Peter.
We've beaten them before. Don't worry, guys. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, you got this. You've got this.
Do you think the players, Newcastle players, are going to put a shift in here? Because Steve McClaren is taking them to La Manga in southern Spain next week.
Yeah, it's not like a training camp or anything.
No, it's just a holiday.
It's just someone's stag do.
It's a reward for their fine performance on another televised match. So
yeah.
So we'll see, won't we? Last time out, Diego Costa and Oscar scored in a 2-0 win at Stamford Bridge. But Newcastle have got fairly recent previous where they've won in the cup and also the league at Stamford Bridge. Fair play, I think the last time they weren't in an incredible rich vein of form. But
Mourinho didn't like St James's Park, did he?
No.
In what sense?
In that Newcastle always used to win there.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, he's never beaten Newcastle at St James's Park, is that right?
I think that's true.
Yeah, and also, here's a stat for you. Chelsea are currently on the longest unbeaten run in the Premier League with 9 games.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Who thought that was going to happen?
Chelsea have drawn their last 4 home games, am I right in saying?
I'm not sure.
I'm just off the top of my head.
They have drawn
one.
A lot, haven't they?
Can they get into Europe?
I doubt.
They dodged the Europa League, wouldn't they?
Into Toto Cup.
Fair play.
Talking of northeastern sides travelling, Sunderland, they're off to the Middle East next week. What's happening up there, Peter?
It's nice to get away, isn't it?
A Hartley pool going to Cornwall?
Well, it's a good reward for not being in any cup competition.
are they going out there and playing games?
Yes, Darts, Cluedo.
Sometimes this happens, doesn't it? Teams on the hush, they will travel away in the middle of the season. They'll play a friendly, and it won't necessarily be all the first teamers, but they do it on the quiet and they make loads of money. Is it one of those things?
I think it's a bit of R&R. Actually, they will train, but I think to take the players out away from the pressures of the Premier League and all that kind of stuff, a bit of sunshine, take it easy, relax, but do a bit of training as well, because you've got to remember that they don't have the winter breaks, which
indeed
people keep banging on about. So maybe if you get a chance to do something like that,
and
it's
also,
not a bad idea.
Are those all those Chinese clubs still in Spain? So Newcastle can get rid of a lot of players.
The
Chinese teams are all over in Spain doing training camps. And,
oh, were they? Are you suggesting they're taking players to market?
Yeah, exactly.
Tiote's just not going to come back?
Well, he popped over for a bit. Tiote went to Spain and couldn't nail down a deal, so
okay,
maybe they'll have another crack.
Does he not have an agent? Is that what this is? He's just desperately trying to get a move, but it's just beyond his interpersonal skills. Yeah.
Well, what I wonder is... will a certain somebody be joining Sunderland when they go to the Middle East to do all this training? Because word is, Emmanuel Abue is training with Sunderland.
Abue man.
Absolutely.
God, what a blast from the past.
Yeah.
What a blast over the bar from 6 yards from the past.
Jim, you'd love to see him back in the league,
wouldn't you? He'd almost certainly score against us. Yeah. So I wouldn't like to see that. But it'd be great to see a bit of Abue man having a bit of a swan song in the Premier League.
It's crazy, isn't
it? Have you seen Diaby's back in action for Marseille after 506 days injured.
Speaking of ex-Arsenal,
506 days.
Yeah. 19 months.
Incredible.
Yeah, the thing with Diaby as well, I think people forget this, it's that when he had that injury against Sunderland, it was a tackle by that guy called Dan Smith, wasn't it, who I don't think is even a footballer anymore. It all stems from that, and it's like a chronic injury to his ankle now. Even when he stops playing football, he will always have problems with it. It's something that just has to be managed. It's not necessarily that he keeps getting different injuries, although he does as a result of that. But that, like, he is just permanently injured. He's in some sort of like injury purgatory. It's really, really sad for the guy. He has to work so hard to get fit, and you know, so much credit to him for continually doing that. It must be so difficult,
especially at Marseille as well. I think he's playing in a cup match fairly soon, which should be quite good to see.
Well, the influence of Stephen Fletcher will help him, no doubt.
Sunderland with a Bowie man in the team, surely they're going to smash Man United. Yeah. Well, even just around the club
if he plays. Yeah, true. Dressed as a tiger or something. That's what he dressed up as. Was that right?
To surprise Emmanuel Adebayor at a party that was not a fancy dress party.
Wonderful. Shall we have our bet of the week?
Yeah, our bet 365, bet of the week. We are going to go for the Sunderland-Man United match. We're going for a Sunderland-Man United draw. 5-2, £10 gets you £35, including the stake. So that's pretty exciting. And if we win, all the money goes to Prostate Cancer UK, which is quite exciting. Mm. The odds are subject to change. And remember, you have to be over the age of 18 to bet. And please gamble responsibly. More information about responsible gambling can be found at gamblerware.co.uk.
That's right. So the thinking behind this is that Man United have actually been in pretty good form, but the Man United we know of the past few seasons is when they get into a bit of good form, they do drop points, don't they? They do something sort of slightly unpredictable. So perhaps, you know, this is going to be one of those exact situations where they do that.
0-0 all over it. And we would take that for charity's sake.
Yes.
Peter, do we have any emails?
We have a couple of emails. I'm going to read one out. It's by a man called Ben, who describes himself as a boring economist.
Just economist will do.
Yeah, I won't give him a second name, but he's given his full address. So he works at JP Morgan, basically. And he's come up with an idea, an opinion that hasn't been expressed massively over the last couple of weeks regarding the Liverpool price ticket price. He says he wants to give us a rational economic viewpoint and a different outlook, which seems absent in the media, and you may or may not find it interesting. Now, let's just get through it.
Rational.
Let's just get through it, all right? He says, whilst I agree without question the price of football tickets are mad, and he doesn't go that often as a result, even to see the Mighty Owls, but A, football tickets are totally a luxury item. They can't be viewed as anything other than a luxury good. The idea that people have some sort of right to watch football, i.e. consume that luxury good at a price they want, is bonkers. There are very few products globally where consumers can demand to pay below market rate, where supply equals demand. Dare I suggest that the divine right of Liverpool supporters to suggest they do is comical. Number two, football tickets are extremely price inelastic. If the price rises, demand will not fall by the same amount. For example, a 10% rise in prices will not mean a 10% fall in ticket purchases. A 10% rise will probably mean a 0% fall in ticket purchases. Of course, Category A games will be even more inelastic, hence the price rises more for them. Sad but true. Depressing. Yeah. Depressing email.
Really stark, kind of cold, robotic view of the world.
Location. I mean, this man sounds every inch a JP Morgan economist. Location. For example, a northern club is irrelevant. As long as you have the demand, a number of people who attend You're familiar with that. To meet the supply, a limited number of seats, then it doesn't matter if the club is in Kensington or Redcar. Sorry, Redcar. Number four, a choice supportive bias. If a person chooses option A, going to a game for £77, instead of option B, watching in a pub with friends or not watching at all, they ignore the negatives of option A and emphasise the negatives of option B. Option B probably isn't that bad. Missing the game or watching it on TV isn't exactly hell on earth or a breach of their human rights. Net result of these points, supporters have no right to mourn about ticket prices. If you don't like them, don't pay them. It's not unfair, it's not unjust or a disgrace in any way. Clubs can charge what they want. It's a luxury good they have complete control over. And he goes on and on and on. But we're talking capitalism versus realistic
sorry,
football.
Let me ask, what was his name? Patrick Bateman, was it? What was,
his name was Skitchard Rudamore. one question. What's his address?
Well, I've certainly got a work address. I mean, it is interesting to hear from someone who works in what I would probably argue as a Canary Wharf bubble
in the city of London.
In the city of London, in a capitalist kind of bubble, to a certain extent. But what I would say is that it may be a luxury item now. It wasn't always. And you're standing on the shoulder of giants, and what would be the point of you supporting a team in League One or League Two, getting to the point where you are selling tickets at a slightly higher rate? What would be the reward for you to support your team through thick and thin? Support your team at 15 a week in League Two, and then once you get to the Premier League, you charge £77. You're gouged effectively for supporting your team through thick and thin.
I understand the point. You know, we all understand
from a cold. If it is a luxury item, you're just going to have rich people going, and those people invariably won't live in the area.
But from a sheer capitalist point of view, I understand
absolutely.
That. But we don't live in a sheer capitalist society, and we wouldn't want to. Perhaps.
Well, this is it, isn't it? It is interesting to hear Patrick's point, because you know, he is looking at it from a purely economic point of view.
Yeah.
Football clubs are run as a business, whether we like that or not. So that is an insight into, obviously, their mentality, which obviously we need if we're going to have a proper idea of how this world works in this kind of debate. But at the same time, you know, they are different from most businesses, football clubs. And
also,
that needs to be taken into account.
Chairmen don't get into football but also clubs to make money. You can't do that.
But this is not to do with, oh, well, don't be loyal to that brand, buy another brand. You know, you don't buy that sports item anymore because they put the prices up. Right, well, I'll go and buy this one. Liverpool Football Club is in Liverpool. It's not changing. That's where it is. The prices should at least be on nodding terms with the area. You know, and football clubs are usually in kind of working class areas, and you can say, oh, well, you have your corporate boxes and all that kind of stuff if you so wish. But, you know, there is a heart to football as well, somewhere in this murky Premier League world in which we all tap into. And it shouldn't be the case that it's a luxury item, so up yours, see you later. People have been supporting those clubs for years. And, you know, it's within the interests of the football club. They want a good atmosphere. People want to go, oh, you want to get down to Anfield, or you want to get down to Selhurst Park or wherever. It's a great atmosphere. You know, keep the fans happy. Or if we're going to use language that may appeal to somebody like Ben, and we do appreciate him getting in touch, by the way.
And we could have gone in with, you know, a slightly harder tackline. I'm sure there's a few listeners at home who have very distinct opinions about Ben's opinion.
You've got it, yeah, I'm sure. And we want to be a little bit fair. But you've got to keep the punters happy, or customers may be a word that would perhaps appeal to someone of Ben's persuasion.
The people in that crowd are the product, and as we discussed on the show on Monday, in the grand scheme of things, the actual bums on seats don't make a huge amount of money compared to the amount of money they make from television. In the top tier, as you move down the leagues, stuff like concessions and bums on seats become more important. But at the top tier, financially, it doesn't really factor in through player sales, wages.
I think the bottom line as well is that, you know, if fans are paying less and they're paying what they can afford, they're more comfortable in their lives, they're happier in the ground, and there's a better atmosphere in the stadiums. And some stadiums, the atmosphere is starting to...
No, I like men and women on the edge. I like them screaming blue murder on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
But that's just because it's what you know.
If you work in an office, they don't have to have a nice ice-cold water dispenser, but put one in. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't be idiots, you know. And I think that if this is a moral argument that we're having...
Well, it's not. I think that's the point. We're not.
No, but if there is, if this comes down to football fans are saying, come on, have a few morals, that's a fair argument. I think it may not be by the letter of the law, but for crying out loud, if we do everything by the letter of the law and we throw out morals and a heart from everything, what are our children going to be, you know, growing up in, Peter, in years to come?
Think of the children. Is that the bottom line?
That's
think
it.
Of the children.
And I think we end there.
Indeed.
But thank you. But we do appreciate you.
Thank you, Ben.
That is the end of the preview show sponsored by Bet365. Or it's nearly the end, because, Jim, you've got to say some things.
Well, you've got to go and check out 44 Tunes. You can go over to our YouTube channel, see the animation that 44 Tunes has done of us, and obviously check out his YouTube channel as well. That is simply 44 Tunes, as in 442, all numbers, and then oons. And, of course, we're going on tour as well, aren't we? We're doing some live dates. All of that stuff. So we'll be at Northern Stage in Newcastle on the 8th of April, and we will be at the Crescent Theatre in Birmingham on the 15th of April. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, which is the...
Today,
the 12th of April. 12th of April? 12th of February. I've forgotten me months.
12th of never.
12th of football. Yeah, so 12th of February, 10:30 a.m. Go over to our website. You'll be able to get tickets. Oh, it'll be a lovely little live show.
All the information you need to get tickets will be at thefootballramble.com.
Very reasonably priced, Ben.
£77. There we are. Get in touch with us, show at thefootballramble.com. Go over to the website, thefootballramble.com, to get your tickets at 10:30 on this fine day of Friday. We're on Twitter, of course, at Football Ramble. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me. Money.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.